We even taught ourselves how to write in Dwarvish and Elvish, which is a little, I think it's quite a nerdy fact that people probably wouldn't know about.
But then you're definitely in the right place, as we will find
Yes,
out later.
absolutely. Middle Earth is all around us in New Zealand, for sure.
Herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge von Beste Zeit, dem Podcast zum Auslandsstudium von und mit College Contact. Ich bin Alexandra.
Und ich bin Elias.
Und gemeinsam sind wir die Gastgeber dieses Podcasts, mit dem wir euer Fernweh wecken und euch dabei unterstützen wollen, eure ganz eigene beste Zeit im Ausland zu erleben.
Wie in der letzten Folge angekündigt, bleiben wir geografisch in Neuseeland. Diesmal hatten wir Jadeen Meadows von der University of Waikato zu Gast. Für ihr Studium und ihre Arbeit hat Jadeen schon viele Orte bereist, aber als richtiger Herr-der-Ringe-Fan hört man bei unserem Gespräch mit ihr schon heraus, there's no place like home.
Gutes Stichwort, denn auch wenn den meisten hier bei uns die University of Waikato mit ihren Campusstandorten in Hamilton und Tauranga vielleicht noch kein Begriff ist, Hobbiton, die Heimat der Hobbits aus der Herr-der-Ringe-Trilogie, werden die meisten von euch vermutlich kennen. Das ist nämlich eine der touristischen Hauptattraktionen in der Waikato-Region.
Warum die University of Waikato auch akademisch ein absoluter Hingucker ist, hat uns Jadeen natürlich auch im Gespräch verraten. Also, los geht's!
Hi Jadeen, welcome to our podcast.
Kia ora, thanks for having me.
So before we get started talking about the University of Waikato, I would like to ask you a couple of check-in questions so that the audience can get to know you a little better as well. Is that all right?
Yeah, that sounds great. Go ahead.
Perfect. So what is your current role at the university and what do you like most about it?
Good question. I'm currently the head of our Global Experiences team at the University of Waikato in New Zealand. Global Experiences for us is our study abroad and exchange program, so inbound and outbound mobility. And the favorite thing I like about my job, and the thing I like most, is the interaction I get with students. I really love hearing firsthand how an international experience has changed them, whether that's our students going out or students coming in. That's definitely my favorite part.
That's great. So you work with both New Zealand students going out and international students coming in. That must be really exciting.
Yes, it is really exciting. And it's, I guess it's quite a nice way of connecting that cycle of students coming in and out. But it's definitely something I really enjoy.
Great. So at a personal level, what has been your favorite travel destination so far?
As someone who actually travels a lot personally and for work, I get asked this a lot, and I must admit it never gets easier because I find I really enjoy different places for different reasons. But I really do love the energy of a big city. I kind of thrive from feeling like I'm in a group of life going on around me. So I really enjoy London. I lived there for a couple of years and I also really love New York. But this year I got to travel to Norway for the first time and I fell in love with Ålesund, which is a beautiful town on the coast there in Norway.
And definitely not comparable in size to London or New York.
No, a very but you know, quite a beautiful contrast. But being on that coast and the architecture was very historical, and the locals were just so friendly, which really made it.
That's really nice. I think there's a lot of people who actually compare the Norwegian kind of countryside and the landscape to the New Zealand landscape. Is that something that you can? Do you understand that comparison? Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. Definitely makes sense now having seen Norway. And it was something that definitely they asked me a lot, a lot of my Norwegian colleagues and students about what it was like in New Zealand. I would say for those that have been to Norway, that the landscape in Norway is most similar to our South Island, which is fjords, really mountainous landscapes. For those that have seen Lord of the Rings, it is very much that kind of Middle Earth spanning landscape. I will say though that we have a lot more beaches in New Zealand compared to Norway, and that our temperatures in terms of our seasons are very different. We definitely don't get that level of darkness. We have a lot more light in our winter, a lot more warmth, and also a different variety, I guess, in the landscapes around us. It is much more diverse in New Zealand than Norway, though there are definitely pockets that feel very similar.
Great. And what is a place that you have never visited but would love to explore?
Again, a tough question because I would like to travel absolutely everywhere. But having just visited Norway and seeing a lot about it, I would love to visit the Lofoten Islands there, which are well known for the wildlife and hiking and also the Northern Lights. And I would also love to see more of Asia because I've barely been to Asia. So I'd like to go to Japan and actually India because my grandmother was born there.
Mm-hmm. All right. So there's still a couple of places on your list.
Definitely, yeah.
Have you been to Germany?
Yes, I have been to Germany. I've actually been to Europe quite a lot because I have family there. So I have my aunt and uncle live in Nijmegen, which is very close to the border of Germany. And then I have cousins who live in Cologne. And Karlsruhe, although my pronunciation is probably not too correct. And my uncle works in Frankfurt. So I am reasonably well traveled throughout Germany. I do love it. Also having my family, I don't speak German myself, but obviously they're fluent in German living there 25 years. So that's a really nice connection to be able to experience it a bit more authentically.
Right. So then we stand a chance that you might visit us one day as well.
Yes, definitely.
Very good. So final check-in question. What is a fun fact that people would be surprised to learn about you?
This is a really good question. I came up with a couple of things that for some people who likely don't know, I play the saxophone, the alto and tenor sax. But I think something that's probably a bit more unusual that I don't bring up often is how much of a Lord of the Rings fan I am, which kind of, I think, tends to align with
books or the films.
A New Zealander. Yeah, I'm really a fan of the three films. I watch them annually, but they came out when I myself was at high school and my best friend and I got so obsessed that we even taught ourselves how to write in Dwarvish and Elvish, which is a little, I think it's quite a nerdy fact that people probably wouldn't know about.
But then you're definitely in the right place, as we will find out later.
Absolutely. Middle Earth is all around us in New Zealand for sure.
Perfect. And I'm on board with that because, yeah, I think I've watched all three films this year already. I typically watch them around Christmas time, but for some reason, like early in the year, I was in the mood. And so I watched all of them already. Yeah. Yeah, probably going to watch them around Christmas again. Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be great
Christmas thing here.
Yeah.
All right. Then let's move along and talk a little bit about the university. Can you give us a brief overview of the University of Waikato? What makes it, stand out from other universities in New Zealand?
There's a few things that makes it stand out. The first things I think of, or the first thing I think of, is particularly our geography. Going back to, I think, how we're talking about the difference between Norway versus New Zealand and touching on the diversity of the landscape in New Zealand, what I guess aligns with our academic strengths and our sense of community is where we're placed in the central North Island. And that's because of the history of the region we're in terms of the Indigenous people of New Zealand, the Māori, it being a very significant area for them, but also the significant biodiversity around us. So we're, forests, rivers, two coastlines, swamplands, all within an hour and a half of us. We roughly have around 12,000 students. So depending where students come from, it can be a small or big campus. It is very much a campusy campus. So students don't have to cross roads. Everything is within a five minutes walk. It's also very green. So we have three gorgeous lakes on campus. It is one of the largest green spaces in terms of a campus in New Zealand. And that sense of community, I think that comes from being a campus like that and because of the connection to the region around us, which I'm sure we'll touch on more, really makes us different compared to some of the other institutions which are in larger cities or in quite different geographical from New Zealand.
And in terms of academics, what are, for instance, like the primary academic strength or maybe the most popular fields of study at the university?
For the most primary, I guess, academic strengths, I would definitely say our environmental studies, generally our sciences in general, because of that connection to the diversity around us, like I said. So what it means is that students go on lots of field trips, even students that come on our short-term study abroad programs, because it is so accessible to go to the East Coast, to the West Coast, to protected forestry. And we are on a riverbed as well, which is studied a lot. Indigenous studies is also really significant in terms of a subject area at our university. We have a faculty of Māori and Indigenous studies. And again, that connection that I think we're really well known for in New Zealand. But again, as a region, it's another level because of our connection with the local iwi Māori tribe. And psychology and management are also really popular subjects. We're one of the highest ranked management schools in New Zealand and in the top 1% in the world and Triple Crown accredited. So that generally brings a lot of students as well.
Hmm. That's a wide variety of subject areas. I'm sure a lot of the students in the audience will have found themselves there in one of these pockets. So that's awesome. So the university has two campuses on the North Island, one in Hamilton, which you've already mentioned, and then one in Tauranga up on the coast in the Bay of Plenty. We can imagine that unless they have been to New Zealand before, many of our listeners might not have heard of either city because they are not as well known as, for example, Auckland or Wellington. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us where they are on the North Island and why students from Germany, Austria, or Switzerland should choose them for their study abroad adventure instead of going to one of the major cities?
Yeah, absolutely. In my travels to work, often if anyone has heard of anywhere in New Zealand, it is typically Auckland. And while Auckland is an amazing city, it is very much a city. And always, like when I'm speaking to students, if you're coming to New Zealand, you're coming for the sense of community, the landscape, and things like that. So you do need to also leave the cities as well. So we are actually only 1 hour south of Auckland in our main campus in Hamilton. Hamilton is the fourth largest city in New Zealand. It is quite a jump, though, from Auckland, which is our largest populous city with 1.5 million. We have 180,000. So I think keeping in context that New Zealand has 5 million people overall. Tauranga is our fifth largest city, so just a little behind Hamilton. Hamilton is not on the coast, which is quite, I think, bizarre for New Zealand because a lot of our key cities are on the coast. We are only 40 minutes away, though, from our west coast and an hour from our east coast. And on that east coast is where Tauranga campus is. So in Hamilton, we're on the Waikato River in a valley, lots of hiking around us, probably a little bit greener, I would say. We're an agricultural region in the Hamilton area. Tauranga is very much beach, right on the coast, which is why we are known there for our marine sciences in particular. Our marine field research station is there. I always kind of like to connect for students the dots so that both campuses are very accessible from each other. So there is a shuttle that goes between the two. But Hamilton is our main campus. It was opened in 1960, whereas Tauranga campus was opened in 2019. So quite a small campus comparative because of that time frame, but a very beautiful modern campus, like I said, that is specializing in more bespoke subject areas like marine until it continues to grow in the future. So students definitely go to both cities regardless of where they are based for their studies because they're both beautiful for different reasons.
And what are some of the main attractions of the both the Waikato and the Bay of Plenty region? Maybe some things that students know or have heard of?
Yeah. Well, I guess carrying on that line of Middle Earth, Lord of the Rings, we are only 40 minutes from Hobbiton. And that is one of the student trips we do. I know not everyone has seen Lord of the Rings, the Hobbit movie, so but it is still something that's really significant for New Zealand, and the set is still set up exactly like it was in the movies. It's quite incredible. Again, the access to landscape. So the two coastlines, the east coast being more white sand beaches, I guess more polished beaches, you would say, and the west coast being black sand beaches, what we would call more Kiwiana beaches. So Kiwiana is a term that we would use to describe something quintessentially Kiwi, New Zealander, calling ourselves Kiwis, obviously, because of the endangered bird. In the Waikato region, we have the longest concreted river trail in the entire country. So that's 65 kilometres, because we're really well known for cycling. So we're a huge sporting region and host our cycling, Olympic cycling team and Olympic rowing team. So students often go rowing of the river or do waka ama, which is a traditional Māori canoe, do lots of hiking, go to the summer food festival at our gardens, which has won international awards. Waitomo Caves is also very close as well, which is a huge natural underground cave system with glowworms. Glowworms are very much in the name, worms that glow. I'm not a scientist. I always struggle to describe it a little bit more detail than that. But they're absolutely exquisite in the cave roofs. And then in Tauranga, being a beach city, hiking up Mount Maunganui is just an iconic activity that people do every day. It only takes about half an hour to get to the top. Copenhagen's is a local ice cream shop at the bottom, and that's just, again, a quintessential thing you do there, sitting on the beach, going surfing. You can also see whales in Tauranga occasionally as well, and there's a lot of sport events there as well too.
Perfect, yeah. That's a lot of things for students to do and to explore. I want to talk a little bit about the Hamilton campus again. You already mentioned quite a bit about this, and since it's a larger campus, I'm guessing that most study abroad students will probably study there. You've already described the campus a little bit, that it's a little bit outdoorsy, it's by the river. How would you describe the let's call it the vibe on campus? What kind of students would feel at home at the Hamilton campus, so to speak?
At the Hamilton campus, I would definitely say students who are looking to really immerse themselves, I guess, in being part of the wider campus community. In New Zealand in general, campuses are quite different to, say, comparatively the typical American experience, in that we are quite academic institutions, and that life in terms of events outside of university hours and on the weekends happens in the city. So we very much do a lot with the city. So it suits the kind of student who is open, I guess, to having that kind of interactive experience with the city as well as the campus. But I would say that generally it was very welcoming, and it's very chill. Chill is very much a word we use in New Zealand, chill, relaxed, laid back, in a way that you're going to feel very comfortable, safe, and supported on the campus.
Mm-hmm. And what about the Tauranga campus? You mentioned that that campus specializes in, you know, other areas that perhaps the Hamilton campus doesn't specialize in. But again, the question, what kind of student, you know, would choose the Tauranga campus? And yeah, what kind of student would feel at home at that campus?
Because Tauranga is newer, like I said, it just opened in 2019, it is smaller. So for comparison, there's about 1,200 students at Tauranga campus and about 12,000 at Waikato, just to recap. So generally, we are saying slightly more independent students, just because of that smaller campus size. We do have our larger support services based on our main campus in Hamilton. So students who are... there obviously is support at the campus, but students who are a little bit more willing to go out on themselves and perhaps make friends off campus. So whether that's a student later in their degree program, or a mature student who's doing their master's program, or a student who is specifically there for something like marine, so is really going to embrace that access to the coastline and a marine field station there. So I would say if a student was doing something like business, more general sciences, psychology, then we at this stage encourage them to be at the Hamilton campus. But like I said, very much support that interaction with Tauranga and being able to use the free shuttle to go there for day trips or on the weekend as well.
Hmm. And I've seen pictures of the Tauranga campus, and it's spectacular, I find, in terms of architecture. And of course, for students who really like to be by the beach, it's great. I mean, so if the subject areas fit, and if they're not looking for kind of the classical, traditional campus life, maybe that could be an option for them, especially if they like to surf or do other kinds of water sports, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Tauranga is absolutely stunning beach in terms of surfing. Raglan, actually on our west coast, which is 40 minutes from our Hamilton campus, has got the longest left-hand break in the world, which I say with a little bit lack of meaning because I'm not a surfer, but every time I say that to surfers, I know it's a very significant fact, and we have students who often come purely because of that and spend their weekends there as well. So whichever campus they're at, they can definitely get that beach lifestyle, but for sure, Tauranga is very much, like I said, the more kind of, I guess, polished beach, you know, that you would, I think, probably think about yourself sitting on a lounge or on the side of in the summer. So it is beautiful.
I wanted to go back to the Maori focus that you mentioned earlier, because I think that is something really unique about the university, because it is known for its strong focus on Maori culture and education. Can you maybe explain where this focus is coming from and how it's integrated into university life and academics?
Absolutely. So I guess it's quite well known that the connection for New Zealand is quite strong in terms of our relationship with Māori, the Indigenous people of New Zealand, and that is really due to our young history and that we have the founding document, which is the Treaty of Waitangi. What makes Waikato really unique compared to the other universities, there's eight in New Zealand, is that we don't own the land that our university is on. So the other seven universities do, but the land that the University of Waikato on is iwi land, tribal land, and we lease that from the tribe. So what that means is, above and beyond our kind of New Zealand level of expectation set by ourselves and also by the Ministry of Education, we have an expectation of ourselves to, with that relationship, on the way we incorporate Te Reo Māori language, Māori culture within our education, and also across the campus. So really emphasising that that doesn't only exist within our Faculty of Māori and Indigenous Studies. There are Te Reo Māori names across the campus. There's a lot of events supporting that interaction and that knowledge sharing. And I always say students can interact with it as much as they can. If you're coming to New Zealand, it's the authentic way to be part of New Zealand in terms of culture and community. And then if students really want to learn more, there's courses, papers, programs and activities that they can interact with. But that is something that really makes it a key strength of ours, like I said, is that connection to the land and to the tribe. And then also the Māori king actually resides in Ngarawahia, which is only 20 minutes from the Waikato Hamilton campus. So again, that's a really key significant tie to us. And so everything we do at a campus level is in conjunction with that local tribe in terms of new buildings, new programs, etc., the direction of the institution. It's a very collaborative way forward that we do things.
Do you have any examples for initiatives or programs that allow maybe specifically study abroad students to experience Maori culture when they're there?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a few papers and papers at Waikato are courses, just to clarify, because I know we call them different things. So we have a couple of papers within our Faculty of Māori Indigenous Studies. One is Introductory to Te Reo Māori Language, which is Māori language, when I said kia ora at the start, saying hello, learning kind of key basic words like that. We actually have a kapa haka paper. For anyone who's watched the All Blacks play rugby, you'll know the kapa haka is the Māori war dance they perform at the start. And then we also have a paper called Introduction to the Māori World, and that's a paper that really focuses on Māori cultural views and perceptions. And the key thing there, and I've kind of spoke about it already, but really is that connection to land, place, mountain, people, which is a much greater sense of tie and responsibility to the environment around us than New Zealand Europeans have in New Zealand.
Perfect. Let's continue to talk a little bit about the study abroad program and the study abroad experience. So for students from Germany who are coming over for maybe a semester or two, what kinds of, you know, support services does the University of Waikato offer to help them settle in? I'm guessing there's an orientation week. So what kinds of events happen during that week? If you could talk a little bit about that, that would be great.
Yeah, for sure. So we, like I said, being only an hour south of Auckland, Auckland is the airport that students will fly into. It is our largest international airport. So the first thing we do in terms of support for our students is we provide an airport pickup. I always say to students, you can be really excited, you're packing your bags, you're on that plane, then all of a sudden you arrive and it kind of hits you. I think it's that first moment of culture shock when you get the sense that it's a bit different, that it's not what you're used to back home. So we will be there with a sign to pick the students up. It will either be a current student or staff member or a shuttle service where we've coordinated the students to arrive at the same time. And we take them directly to their accommodation. Within the orientation weeks, we actually have a pre-orientation and then an orientation week the first week that classes start. And those focus on those kind of social fun events, club days, etc., but also things like introducing students to the support systems that are available on campus, how to use the library, those kind of resources so they can really familiarise themselves before their classes start the next week. On top of the standard orientation, students that come to Waikato will be involved in our international orientation. And then actually on top of that international orientation, we have a specific study abroad and exchange orientation, which really supports students coming within their that shorter term program cohort to connect with other students. And usually that's where we find students make a lot of friends. And then we run a lot of trips for those students. We have an on the ground colleague who is their key contact, kind of call her camp mum for students while they're here. So anything that they have questions around, they will be able to contact our colleague about. And then again, that is, I guess, our specific international support. But on top of that, all the Waikato support is available to them that are standard to all students, which includes complimentary counselling sessions, availability to the medical centre, et cetera, on campus. Mm.
Yeah, that sounds great. Sounds like there's no, you know, possibility of any student, you know, falling through the cracks and
not. No, absolutely not. Yeah, for sure. That's great. It's something we definitely pride ourselves and we're really aware of that. Obviously, we, you know, we think New Zealand's going to be an amazing experience, but we also understand that it is very overwhelming. And I think sometimes, like I said, it doesn't really hit you until you enter a country and then you realize, like I said,
yeah. That's true. All right. You already mentioned like the vast variety of, you know, programs that are being on offer. I was just wondering, can you name any like sort of courses or subject areas that are particularly popular amongst study abroad students?
Yeah, for our study abroad students, we do find, I mentioned the kind of specific Māori Indigenous courses before, they are incredibly popular. So for courses, there's a full-time workload at Waikato, and so usually we find they take three in their subject area and then maybe a cultural course. I always think if you have that flexibility, it is amazing to have that extra layer of immersion into the culture. But typically it is quite a wide variety, generally social sciences and sciences, like environmental sciences is where we see the most students. As an institution though, we don't cap courses. So if a student meets the entry require, they're guaranteed entry into a course, and all courses are open to students except for our practical teaching papers within our education faculty. So what that means is that students have such great certainty around gaining entry into the courses that they need and want, which is really amazing to be able to offer that for students.
Mm-hmm. So there are no space restrictions?
No, not at all.
Okay, so if a student meets the requirements, they can basically plan to enroll in these courses. That is a really good thing for students to know, because we often have students who may have very strict requirements from their home university, or they only need a couple of papers to graduate. So if they can't take them abroad, that might actually kind of prolong their studies. So I think having that level of safety, I think it's a definite bonus for Waikato then.
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing it with students, both inbound and our students going out more and more. academic certainty is really a priority for them. So it is really great that we can do that. And I always stress to students, it's not because we don't have enough people on campus, it's because we have a lot more land in New Zealand, and so our campuses are larger, so we do have the capacity to move classes around based on the students that enroll in those classes.
That is really good. Can you tell us a little bit about the opportunities for study abroad students to engage in internships or research while they're at Waikato? Because I know that's something that students often ask us about. I'd say internships even more than research, but research as well, especially from kind of maybe master's level students.
Yes, absolutely. In New Zealand, we kind of refer to it as work integrated learning, or, you know, the experiential experience. We're finding it's definitely more of a priority for all students. We are really lucky that we can offer our study abroad students a internship as part of what we call our Study Plus Intern Package. How that works is, I touched on, four courses make up a full-time workload at Waikato. Typically, what students would do if they would like to enroll in an internship is they take three courses with us instead of four, and then the internship makes up the fourth. And in a lot of our subject areas, students can gain credit for that internship, which means they're getting that full workload of credit to take home. The internship is guaranteed and guaranteed in subject area. Just the small note there is that we can't guarantee company. In saying that, New Zealand has a surprising amount of large companies in New Zealand, companies like PwC, Deloitte, and Hamilton. We have Fonterra, which is the largest agricultural company in the Southern Hemisphere and very international. And then a huge amount of startup companies. New Zealand is very New Zealand proud, keep it local, really sustainable focused. So we have some amazing small businesses in the region. So it's an amazing opportunity to have work experience. So it's about 10 to 15 hours a week. It very much is considered part of your study. So there's no push-pull. Very much a student first, and we support students to have a positive balance between their internship and their study. So that would continue for the length of the trimester, 3 to 4 weeks. And then afterwards, they would gain a report and, I guess, summary from their experience to be able to gain that credit. I always like to touch on too that in New Zealand, an internship means you're very much hands-on. You're not pouring cups of tea, so you're supporting projects, kind of leading initiatives, etc. So you definitely are going to get hands-on experience. Mm-hmm. So that's our internship element. And then for the research projects, at the moment we offer capstone projects for science students. There's about 8 projects that cross over 8 different subject areas, whether that be marine, environmental, coastal studies, etc. And so students can, that's what it actually is, it's a capstone course. So there's no extra requirement in terms of application or anything like that. It's just the opportunity for students to have a real hands-on experience if they would like to. I do stress, though, that typically our courses are, from what I understand, quite hands-on in New Zealand to some other countries anyway. So students are definitely going to have, particularly if they're in the sciences, field trips, interactions with the regional environment around us as part of their standardized papers. Mm.
I think both options sound really interesting. And I think especially with the internship, I can imagine that this also gives students a different perspective into life in New Zealand, because it's not just kind of the typical student life, which can be similar across countries because it's all young people. But then internships, depending on the industry, can really give them a glimpse of what like life in New Zealand is like, or what working in New Zealand would be like. So I think that's really fantastic. And then with the research, if they are looking to maybe apply for a research master or a PhD program afterwards, it gives them an idea of what that could be like in New Zealand as well. So I think it's awesome that you offer that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the practical experience is amazing. But then also, like I say to students, having that intercultural communication on your CV going into job. And it also helps as well to have that contrast of environment, like you said, being in the workforce here in New Zealand and noting what is different expectations, helping you when you then go into the workforce to have that experience navigating those different cultural expectations, environmental expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think those are really great opportunities to students. I wanted to backtrack here a little bit and touch on something that you've hinted at earlier when you were talking about the welcoming of students at the airport and that they're then being taken to their accommodation. So my question is, what types of accommodation options are there available for study abroad students when they come to the University of Waikato?
For accommodation, it's actually really great that we can guarantee accommodation for our study abroad students, which is something that I'm particularly proud of because I understand how tough the current environment can be for students everywhere travelling abroad and gaining accommodation. So I guess the key thing is that we guarantee that you will have housing on campus. I guess the proviso is that the applications are in by the deadline. What we have on campus, on the Hamilton campus, and then I'll touch on the Tauranga, is what we would call, I guess, traditional university resident halls where students would have a private room with a bed. There's no shared rooms in New Zealand as a kind of standard university, standard across the universities. So a private room with a bed, a desk, and then typically shared bathrooms and a kitchen area. So those students are typically in New Zealand are for what I would say are younger students, first, second year students, wanting a little bit more of that typical university experience. And then you can do fully catered food options or provide food yourself, although I definitely tend to find students prefer not having to concern themselves with cooking and shopping and do fully catered. We then also have an option on the Hamilton campus called Orchard Park. And Orchard Park is again, all of these options are on campus. 5 minutes, I say to students, joke, you'll roll out of bed and be in class. They're what we would call a flatting situation, but I know that is a Kiwi word that doesn't translate everywhere in the world, but it's shared living, shared accommodation. So the Orchard Park cottages are 4 private bedrooms in a cottage that are lockable, but they have a shared kitchen, bathroom, and living space. So we find that's really popular with our study abroad students. So I do tend to say to students, put that down as your option one on your application, because they like that sense of community and it's a lot easier, perhaps not a lot easier, but to, I guess, maintain a little smaller community if that is your preference, opposed to the larger typical halls. And then on the Tauranga campus, we have a kind of somewhere in the middle where students have a private room, but they also have a private bathroom. So there's a communal spaces where they can hang out, and it's only a block from our city-based campus, but full support and lounge areas, and there's lots of activities happening there, and again, guarantee accommodation for students.
Perfect. That's I feel like that all sounds like music to German ears because I feel like so much is guaranteed for students, especially wanting to have everything secured and in place, like not just their accommodation but also their classes and all of that. Seems like the University of Waikato is a really, really good option for them. Yeah.
It's guaranteed courses, guaranteed accommodation. Yeah, so at
I
this
know.
time we usually ask about kind of tips on finding accommodation on their own for students, but we don't need to ask that this time.
No, like I said, I guess my only tip is if students, for example, preferred the Orchard Park setting to the typical resident halls, then the sooner they get the application in, the higher chance they are to get placed in their first choice in terms of their list. So we guarantee accommodation, but unfortunately can't guarantee which one. But I always stress to students just to communicate with us if there are key needs as to why they need one to the other and get the application in plenty of time. But we give plenty of like leeway and notice for that.
That's
Perfect.
great. So that means that students will have peace of mind. They will not have to arrive early to kind of look at apartments and things like that,
Nice.
but they can still arrive early to maybe travel a little bit because I know that we already talked a little bit about the immediate surroundings of Hamilton and Tauranga, but when students come all the way down to New Zealand from Europe, of course they want to see as much of both the North Island and the South Island as possible. So, in your opinion, what are some of the places or regions in New Zealand that should be on every student's bucket list?
This is timely, I guess, because I just returned from a holiday to the South Island myself. But in the North Island, starting where our campus is based, obviously, the North Island being more of the beachy city island, and the South Island more of the fjord mountainous island. And the North Island, I would 100% tell students to head up above Auckland to the tip of the North Island, which we call Northland. Absolutely exquisite beaches up there. Really gorgeous in the summer, lots of events, a beautiful place if they're here for Christmas or the New Year period. So definitely heading up to Northland for that typical Kiwiana beach experience. The Coromandel is on our east coast and again is absolutely beautiful with some beautiful hikes. There's a walk called the Pinnacles Walk there near Cathedral Cove. Just really beautiful place for sunset, sunrises, again interacting with the coastline and the beach. Taupō, 3 hours south of us, is our largest lake in New Zealand and is also well known because that's where our ski mountain is. There's a lot of cycling there, huge summer events in terms of sports.
Isn't there Ironman?
Yeah, there's always people there making you feel a little lazy with how epic they are. And actually, just before you head down to Taupō, there's Rotorua, which is only an hour from us, which is a geothermal active city. So bubbling mud water on the ground, it's really really something very unique and something I've not seen anywhere else. And then in the South Island, absolutely, I think, like I said, that picturesque Lord of the Rings fjord, similar to Norway, landscape. The Milford Sound is a fjord in the southwest of the island that I just visited a week ago and saw penguins, dolphins, fur seals. It's absolutely exquisite experience. Queenstown is probably a town that people are aware of as well. Really beautiful city, right on the waterfront. The South Island is also host to 7 of the 10 Great Walks of New Zealand. So if anyone is a hiker, I would 100% recommend that students look up the 10 Great Walks of New Zealand. 3 are in the North Island and 7 are in the South. And they have been defined as some of the greatest walks in the world. They're really beautiful, exquisite, iconic. But if students are coming to do them, they do just need to book in advance because our Department of Conservation does support, I guess, the flow of those walks.
Cool. Yeah. Sounds like you definitely need an entire semester to go out and explore.
Our students constantly challenge me with how much of New Zealand they see compared to how much I see. It's quite amazing. I think the key thing to note as well is it's only an hour and a half to the South Island. So I always say to students, you know, I think it's quite hard sometimes to look at the map and think, or maybe I can only be in the North Island and I won't have time to get to the South. But it's only an hour direct flight. New Zealand airports, you know, it's very easy to jump on a plane, very accessible comparatively to somewhere like Australia, which is huge. In New Zealand, you really are going to get a chance to see a significant amount of the country in the short time that you are here.
I mean, that was already great advice, but if you could give one final piece of advice to students considering Waikato for their study abroad experience, what would it be?
I think it would be to just embrace the unknown and take up all experiences that are given to you. I think when people come somewhere like New Zealand, they might have a lot of preconceived ideas about what it's going to be like, and often in a really positive way, they're exceeded. One thing I will say is that I commented on the word chill. New Zealanders are very down to earth, but what we are more than anything is so approachable. But because we're so chill and down to earth, we might not often put our hand up. So I think sometimes, like I said, just opening yourselves up to new opportunities, saying hi to someone that you're sitting next to on a bus and, you know, or at the beach. And it's absolutely amazing what kind of interactions and positive experiences can happen from that.
Great. That was awesome. I think before we get to the end of the podcast, it is time for our famous this or that segment. Mm-hmm. the long-awaited or by some university partners dreaded session, because we are going to ask you a couple of questions where we provide you with two alternatives and you spontaneously choose the one that appeals to you more than the other, and maybe give us a little bit of context for your decision. Are you ready to go?
I am really slightly apprehensive, but also excited. Let's go.
All right. Good. So what would be your preference for a morning kickoff? A quick espresso at a Victoria Street cafe or a leisurely brunch in the Hamilton East?
Or leisurely brunch in the Hamilton East. I frequent Hamilton East very often. For context, Hamilton East is a really funky area, very close to campus, only probably about a 20-minute walk, 5 to 10-minute drive, quite a really urban urban centre with lots of very Kiwi-owned businesses, cafes, ceramic studios, clothing studios, etc.
Mm-hmm. And then in terms of outdoor leisure, are you more the type for a morning run along the Waikato River or a leisurely picnic in the Hamilton Gardens?
I don't run. I have tried, but we don't agree with each other. So I would say a morning cycle because I love cycling. But because you said running, I'm going to say a leisurely picnic in the Hamilton Gardens because that's an idyllic way to spend a day.
All right. What about local treats? Do you prefer a classic New Zealand pie from a local bakery or a scoop of hokey pokey ice cream?
I'm not a massive pie person myself, but I absolutely love ice cream. And Duck Island is a local ice cream parlor here that started in Hamilton, is now actually nationwide. And when I get off the plane, returning from an international trip, as soon as I get into Hamilton, it is the first thing I do every time I return home is go there. I must say they don't have Hokey Pokey, which is a very classic Kiwiana flavour with the Hokey Pokey, the honeycomb. But they have a lot of unique flavours, so like sticky black rice or they do real seasonal flavors. They actually run a competition as well where the local schools get to suggest flavors and then the winning flavor gets created and gets scooped up for 2 weeks at the store.
It's really cool. All right. Now let's move on to some weekend vibes. Would we find you browsing through the Hamilton Farmers Market or chilling out at a local jazz brunch? Now we have the chilling again.
I know. Both of these sound great, but I would say the farmer's market because I love frequenting there on a Sunday.
All right. And then finally, interestingly, a question about the great walks. Which one would you rather recommend, the Tongariro Northern Circuit or the Lake Waikaremoana track?
Oh, that is a hard one because I have not done the second one. I've only done the Tongariro. So I would say the second one based on the feedback that I've received from friends that have done that and because Tongariro Crossing is part of one of our student trips, so they get a taster of it anyway.
All right, perfect. And do you have a recommendation maybe for one on the South Island? As you said, most of them are down there. Is there one that you have found that you absolutely love?
The Milford Track, it's actually perceived by some as the greatest walk in the world. Mm-hmm. And that comes up into the Milford Fjord, the Milford Sound that I talked about, where they'll see dolphins, penguins, seals, etc.
But I heard that it's you really have to pre-book. It's kind of sold out like two years in advance. So students thinking about studying abroad in New Zealand should probably book that before even applying to universities.
They are really popular. And the key thing there is because people stay in the dock huts, the Department of Conservation huts. However, how you interact with the walks is I guess, as much as you want to. They are 3 to 4 days. But you can do a lot of them, you know, kind of walking in one day and then walking back out in that same day. So, again, there are definitely going to be options. The cap is more on the dock sites that people stay at overnight opposed to the people actually doing the walk itself.
All right. Great. And we're done. Wasn't that hard, was it?
No, it wasn't.
All right, cool. I think we learned a lot about New Zealand.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think our audience will have as well. And I think that we have definitely found a couple of points that that make the University of Waikato very unique and also very desirable, not only in terms of location, but also in terms of the accommodation guarantee, the fact that there are no caps on seats in the individual courses. So I think everything that students really, really like, and then the internship and the research options. So I think Waikato definitely offers a lot for study abroad students. So I hope that some of the students in the audience today will pick up the phone or write us an email and inquire for more information.
Yeah, we'd absolutely love to have you, for sure.
Perfect. All right. Thank you so much for spending your evening with us. I know it is getting late down where you are. But
yes, my pleasure. It was lovely chatting, and thank you so much for the time and challenging me on my knowledge of both.
All right. Great. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Ich habe jetzt schon wieder richtig Fernweh. Ganz ehrlich, wenn Neuseeland bisher nicht auf deiner Bucketlist steht, dann solltest du es wirklich draufschreiben. Meiner Meinung nach ist es das schönste Land der Welt.
Das ist mal eine Aussage.
Ich weiß, aber es ist wirklich so. Die Landschaft, die Weite, das Licht.
Das Licht?
Ja, das Licht. Es ist schwer zu beschreiben, aber das Licht in Neuseeland ist anders als hier. Und die Wolken auch. Ich meine, der Maori-Name von Neuseeland bedeutet ja auch nicht ohne Grund Land der langen weißen Wolke.
Okay, dann muss das wohl stimmen.
Ich sag's dir, fahr hin und du weißt, was ich meine. Aber jetzt mal unabhängig davon, wo du deinen nächsten Urlaub verbringst. Ich fand das Gespräch mit Janine richtig gut und ich habe einiges Neues über Hamilton und die Waikato-Region gelernt.
Ich auch. Die Uni ist wirklich eine spannende Option für Studierende, die nicht unbedingt den Großstadttrubel brauchen und das echte Neuseeland kennenlernen wollen.
Ja, das kann man da auf jeden Fall.
Wenn ihr noch mehr über die University of Waikato wissen möchtet, schaut am besten mal in unsere Shownotes. Dort findet ihr Links zum Hochschulprofil und einem Interview mit einem ehemaligen Waikato-Studenten. Außerdem findet ihr in den Shownotes wie immer auch unsere Kontaktdaten. Ruft uns an oder schreibt uns, wenn ihr mehr über die University of Waikato oder ganz allgemein über die Möglichkeiten eines Auslandssemesters an unseren Partnerhochschulen wissen möchtet.
Wir schicken euch dann gerne unsere ausführliche Bewerbungsanleitung mit vielen Infos und Tipps zur Bewerbung an der University of Waikato zu. Die Anleitung ist natürlich kostenlos, genauso wie unser gesamter Beratungs- und Bewerbungsservice, da wir von unseren Partnerhochschulen für unsere Arbeit bezahlt werden. Kurz vor Weihnachten gibt es die nächste Folge. Dann zieht es uns nach Kanada, in die Rocky Mountains. Bis dahin sagen wir vielen Dank fürs Zuhören, lasst euch nicht einschneiden und habt eine gute Zeit.